Right, we started the two dots, the bottom of Pei Gimel on the bed. Gemara is continuing its discussion and search for the fact that when we say ayin tach an ayin, that does not mean literally an eye for an eye, but rather it means monetary compensation for the eye that's lost. So the Gemara gave already two possible sources for that, and now the Gemara is going to proceed with other sources, questioning, but looking at those sources and then questioning whether they are really viable sources. First one at the bottom, Judah, Tanya, Rabbi Yishtai ben Yehuda Omer, Ayin tachat Ayin Mamon. It's monetary compensation, not literal. Atal mer Mamon, Ayin Mamash. How do you know that it's monetary compensation and not really an eye for an eye? Mark, Haresh Aita, Yino Shalzeh Gdola, Veino Shalzeh Ktana. I mean, what happens if one person has a big eye and the other guy has a small eye? Heich ani korebe Ayin tachat Ayin. How can I call or how can I describe this as being an eye for an eye? And it's not an equal trade. If the one who has a small eye knocks out the big eye, or vice versa, you won't have an equal trade in terms of knocking out the eye, because one's big, one's small.
So one for one.
Oh, very good. So you must answer your question. Right? So what are you going to say? Okay, in that instance where it's not equal, the size of the eyes are not equal, we'll take monetary compensation. In case where they are equal, we'll do ayin tachat ayin. So you says you can't do that. Ador amrah, mishpat achad yelachem. Right, that has to be mishpat, hashaved kulchem. Has to be a single din for everybody. I mean, there's a quality under the law. So it can't be that certain people lose their eye and certain people are only going to have to provide monetary compensation. So that's impossible to be the answer. So Imri, my kushyu. The Gemara says, wait a minute, what's the problem here? Dilma, and this is what Gedalia was suggesting here, Dilma nahora shakil minei, right, nahora amar rahman nishko minei. Maybe the Torah says, you cause him to lose his sight. So all we're asking you to do is lose your sight. I mean, ayin tachat ayin, the size of the eye should be irrelevant, but it's rather the function of the eye that we're worried about. So you took away his function of his eye, so we're going to take away the function of your eye. So irrelevant whether it's big or small. Dilo te mahok, if you don't say this, then what are you going to do with katan sharagata gadol? Gadol sharagata katan. Gadol and katan here are not gadol and katan like a minor and a person who is of age. Rather, gadol and katan are literally a big person and a small person. So a small person kills a big person, or a big person calls a small person, hey, katlin and leg. How could we kill them? How could you kill them? I mean, if the death penalty is awarded in these instances, then we're doing nefesh tachat nefesh. Now you're going to take one person's life in place of the other person's life. But one guy's a big guy, and one guy's a small guy. But obviously, what? Its size is irrelevant when it comes to life. What we're talking about is life itself. And life itself, the size is irrelevant, and so too by an eye. Right? Eye, the size of the eye is irrelevant, it's the function of the eye which is important. So, he took away a life, so we take away his life. So here the Torah says, you caused him to lose his eyesight, so over here, we're going to cause him to lose his eyesight. So but we don't have a proof here from Rabbi Yishtai ben Yehuda. Next, chance. Tani idach. Another brighter. Shimon bar Yochai omer ayin tachat ayin mamon. Shimon bar Yochai says an eye for an eye is monetary compensation. Atah omer mamon oel en ayin mamash. How do you know it's monetary compensation, not actually an eye? Right. Mark. Shari sum'a v'sim'e. Kita v'kita. Kiteya. Chiger v'chiger. So what happens if the person who is actually doing the crime, right, is actually hitting, so you have a blind person that blinds someone else. Or you have a person missing an arm who takes off someone else's arm. Or someone's missing a leg, right, and then he is taking off someone else's leg. Then how can you ever perform ayin tachat ayin and rat yad tachat rat, ragel tachat ragel? None of these apply because the person's already missing that limb. If they're missing that limb, then what's the ayin tachat ayin mamash? You can't execute it. So what are you going to do? Right, so how am I going to do it? You're going to say in their instance, maybe we'll do monetary compensation. If we do monetary compensation there, then we don't have equality under the law. Because again, some people are going to pay money, and others are going to have to give up a limb in order to rectify the situation. So it says, Imre, my kushya. Why does this necessarily have to be a question? I mean, that the Torah only prescribes the punishment in instances where it's possible. In instances where it's impossible, nothing happens. Upachrin and I'll be patur. You're right. If we cause those people who are, for instance, blind already, who blind someone else, if we cause them to compensate through monetary means, then there's inequality in the law, because some people are paying money and some people are losing a limb. On the other hand, if we say they're patur the gamrei, then there's no inequality under the law, because basically the law is, whenever there's an opportunity to execute this punishment, we'll execute it. If there's no ability to execute the punishment, then we can't do anything. It's just impossible, right? I mean, there's no way to give that punishment if he's already, in a sense, punished. He doesn't have a limb there. So where it says, Dilo te mahachi, because if you don't say this, Dilo te mahachi, treifa sharegat ha-shalim. If you have a treifa that killed someone who was of whole body, right, down the whole body, so now this treifa becomes a problem. My avdilin leh. How are we going to do here? What do you mean, what are we going to do here? You can't kill the treifa. Why? Because any eidim that show up to testify against the treifa, that is an eidut, shi'i akayuchul hazima. It's an eidut that you can't make them into eidim zomimim. Why can't you make them into eidim zomimim? Because if they are found to be zomimim, these eidim, they will not be punished by death. Why not? Because who are they trying to kill? They're trying to kill a treifa. A treifa is basically a walking dead man. That's how the Gemara describes him. So they're trying to meet katil. They fire katil already, that someone is already dead. They're killing a dead man, and killing a dead man doesn't have punishment. So you cannot be mezameim the eidim. If you can't have eidim zomimim, then it's an eidu shiatayuchol azimah. No eidim could show up and testify against this guy. So he won't receive the death penalty. So what are you going to say? Oh, all of a sudden now nobody gets the death penalty because the treifa can't get the death penalty? No. How do we deal with that? If it's possible to punish, then we punish. In a case where it's impossible, like the case of the treifa, it's possible, we don't punish. We don't treat him like, and we say it's patur. We can't do anything about it. Alright, so again, that's not, we are shalel, right, we said that this proof is not a good proof again. Vei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Amar Krab, Kein Yina Tein Bo, right, so we had this pasuk yesterday, Kavshei Tein Mum Ba Vadam, Kein Yina Tein Bo, right, that when you have a mum that's given to a person, Kein Yina Tein Bo, it'll be, you know, the requisite or the eye for an eye will be done to him. Vei Nitina El Mamon. But when we talk about nitina doesn't literally mean nitina that we take out, we do exactly like you did to him. But nitina really means mamon, monetary compensation. So when it says ela mayata, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with the kasher yitain, the first half of the pasuk? It says kasher yitain mum ba'adam. If that is the case, that nitina is monetary compensation, then the kasher yitain is the first half of the pasuk. What you gave him sounds like a regular, you damaged this individual, you caused him some physical damage. And we say, can he that same bow? That will happen to you. Nagamar says, oh, happening to you means money. Why? Because the word nitina means money. But that means when you actually cause the damage, it's kasher yitain mum. Kasher yitain mum then will not be a physical, right, damage that you're doing to the person, but rather monetary damage. And so you're doing monetary damage to him, and the monetary damage you have to pay, of course. What's the question? So akhanami, the mamonu should also be monetary. I am ready to beg Rabbi Shmuel. Kray yetera darshe. They're darish. The fact that there's an extra puzzle for you. Mistake, Steve. Puzzle says ish ki tein mumba mito. Person who does damage to another individual, kasher asa ken yase lo. The way that he did shall be done to him. Right. So ken ina tein bo lomeli. What's the extraneous puzzle of? Right. We have another puzzle which says kasher tein mumba adam ken itanim ken ina tein bo. Shmamino. That extraneous puzzle comes to teach mamon. Well, then, if the whole pasuk is extraneous, then you're explaining the second half of the pasuk, which is can he not tain both, that he has to give monetary compensation. But what about the first half of the pasuk, which kasher yitain mum ba'adam? So when it says I did bari mechtav can he not tain both, does that tell the second half of the pasuk was monetary compensation? Use the term or the verb natan. Ktav nami kasher yitain mum ba'adam. Also, it used it for the first half of the pasuk. Used the word natan. Not that it was literal in the first half of the pasuk, but rather it was just parallel structure in the pasuk. Right? The Bei Rabbi Chiya Tano, the Rabbi Chiya has another source. Amar Kra, Yad B'Yad. The pasuk says, Yad B'Yad is by Yidin Zomimim. It uses the term by Yad B'Yad. So Yad B'Yad sounds like you do an arm for an arm. Zobar Nitain, Miyad B'Yad. So the Bei Rabbi Chiya Tano is not literally an arm for an arm, but rather something that's given from hand to hand. Miyadiyad, cover the time miyadiyad, my new mamon. What is that? That's money. And that's the Gemara uses this at other places, for instance, in the end of Sefer Vayikra. Milkukatai, Tapuaka, but metalkalim is Zabar Nitan, miyadiyad. Things that can be exchanged or moved from hand to hand, those are classified as money or metalkalim. El miyadzo, that's the case that you're interpreting yad yad to mean something that's given from hand to hand, then what are you going to do with the words? Rego, verogo. Right? Regular, but that's very good. What? Then it's given foot to foot? That doesn't make sense. Right. Nami. Nami, hafi hu imri. I'm sorry. Regular, nami hafi hu. Imre is a very rabbi chia kura yisera kadashi. They dash in the extra puzzle. If they say that tikul vam kashir zamam nasu de achim. We already have an explicit puzzle that says that you should do to them as exactly what they want to do to their friend. Isa gadat mamash. If you think that it should be literal, yab yad only. Then what do I need the extra puzzle of yab yad? Yab yad, it says the exact same thing as the tikul vam kashir zamam nasu de achim. Do to them like they try to do the others. So if you want it to be literal, don't say anything more. The fact that then you add on yad yad, which says the exact same thing, shmamina mamon. Alright, but now, given that, regal barago lomali. What are you going to do with regal barago? That's also extraneous. I didn't say yad yad, so it's not me regal barago. Since they already wrote yad yad, they're also wrote regal barago. It's like the flow of the pasuk. Abaye omer. Abaye suggests, no, the source is something else. I think it's time to debate fiskia. Comes from time to debate fiskia. The time to debate fiskia, I ain't talking, nefesh, talking, nefesh. Lo nefesh bi'ayin tachet ayin. When it comes to, you can only take an eye for an eye, and you can only take a nefesh for a nefesh, meaning a life for a life. But you can't take a life and an eye just for the damage of an eye. Bi'zakadat kumamash, if you think it's literal that you take out his eye, zim nimishkachala ayin the nefesh tachet ayin. Then you sometimes will finally take out the eye, the person will not be able to survive that. He won't stand the pain or whatever's involved in removing his eye, and he'll die. So, bahadi, the obvious way, not be glad at the time that you're blinding him, he's losing his life. So my says, my kushio. Dilma meima dam dinam lei. We assess beforehand whether he's going to survive having his eye taken out or not taken out. Imat mekabel abdinan. If he's able to survive or withstand the pain or whatever the trauma of having his eye taken out, then we do it. Right? Ilo mazdi mekabel lo abdinan. If he's unable to withstand or survive that, we don't do it. Viam dinan de mazdi mekabel abdinan bei. Well, what happens if we assess that he's able to do it? And we do it, and he dies. So it says, he might, we move. Right? If he dies, he dies. That's not the issue. Why? Milotan, we have a Mishnah, Gabi Malkus. The exact same case by Malkus was, Amdua Umeit, Tachet Yadot Badur. When it comes to Malkus, you have to give the individual 40 lashes, 39 lashes. Or if he has multiple Lavin, he has to give him multiple sets of 39. Over there, the basin is Umeit. The basin is set is whether the individual can actually handle the lashes or not handle the lashes. We give him no more than he can possibly handle. What happens if they assess him for a certain level, then they give him the lashes and he dies, despite the fact that they assessed him at this level. But over there, he's patur, the basin is patur, because they did what they could. They took an expert witness. He said that they could give him as many lashes, and they do it. So do over here. We have expert witnesses telling us that he could survive having his eye taken out or not survive. We listen to the expert witness, and if it happens that he dies, because of that, we say, you are patur. That's not our responsibility. And therefore, you don't have a problem of ayin. You could do ayin tachet ayin, assuming that the person is assessed up front not to die. So fine, you're right. If we assess him up front that he's not going to survive and he's going to die from it, then we say, no, can't do it. Because then that ayin v'nefesh tachet ayin. But if we assess that he's able to withstand or survive it, then we would do it. Even though, in the end, he might die. That's not an issue because once patient's assessed what the level is, we assume that to be correct. So that can't be the source. Zvid made the rabbi Amar Kra Pesa Tachat Pesa. Zvid, the name of rabbi, right here, probably should be Rabba, because you'll see from the next limud, is Rav Papa Mishmei the Rabba. So Rav Papa and Rav Zvid, who are contemporaries, are both probably quoting Rabba. So Rav Zvid Mishmei the Rabba, Amar Kra Pesa Tachat Pesa, retain Tsar B'Makom Nezek. So Pesa Tachat Pesa comes to teach you that there's, you still pay for pain in the place when you pay for damages, right? Our mission described that, Derga Chamisha Dvarim. So even in the face of Netflix, there's still a compensation for our tzar. And so Gemara says, wait a minute. He's talking about the mamash. If you think literally taking out his eye, okay, because I have a late tzar, I now need a late tzar. I mean that why do you need to make compensation for pain? If, what was the pain? The pain was having his eye removed. So the pain was having his eye removed. We're removing the other guy's eye anyway. So he is experiencing the exact same, right, damage, experience, pain that the other individual did. So why does she have to compensate separately for pain if the nezek that we're making him compensate for, right, the nezek is the taking out his eye, then we've done both nezek and tzar. You basically accomplished all the other items. Not even, truthfully, you've also accomplished repoy, which Kumar's going to discuss in a second, repoy and shabbat, all these things. You have the exact same situation, almost. I mean, my kushya, dilma iti inishtim mifanke, isle tzar. Maybe some guy, people are a little softer, and it causes a lot more pain to them having their eye removed. Right? There's certain people that are a little more tough. Right? Let's say Sara, they don't get, it doesn't cause them so much pain. I mean, pain is a subjective, right, experience. And therefore, how can you say that it's equal? Even if you take out the eye, there might be some differential in the pain element. So Mar says, what happens if it's just normal people? I mean, the normal case, right, it's true, in extremes, true. But if we say that there's tzar, b'makom nezek, even the case where they are equal, then what? Then you actually have the question. Because now you have the issue that we're taking out this guy's eye, we have equal form of nezek and tzar, and yet the Mishnah, we still demand of him to pay tzar beyond the nezek. The only way we can demand him to pay tzar beyond the nezek is if the nezek is not the same exact thing. How is it not the same? It's not the same thing. It's monetary compensation and not literal nezek. Now, Rav Papish made the Rava. So Rav Papish is the name of Rava Amar Kra. He's made the Rava Amar Kra. Rava Yifra Pei. So that we just said this before. Now, when you come to the Chavishad Varim, if you talk about doctor bills, then the same with Rav Makum Nezek, that you still pay for doctor bills for curing the ailments or whatever damage is being done, you pay that despite the fact that you've already compensated for the Nezek. We talk about Kamash, Gekad, I buy Asya, Harinami buy Asya. Wait a minute. If that's the case, then they both need the same doctors or same curing because they both just lost their eye. So if you take an eye for an eye, literally, then why should you have to compensate the doctor bills? Well, just put them in the exact same situation. We put them in the exact same situation. Then they both need the same curing, the same doctor's bills. Well, my kushio. Right, so he says, what's the question? Some people's, here it's literally skin, but some people heal faster. Because it looks like it's very high. Some people don't heal as well or as fast. My sister might get familiar. Hey, off to Benny Benny. Again, the case or the issue will come up when they heal at the same rate. When they stay and heal at the same rate, then compensation for Nezek, and then beyond that to compensate for doctor bills, why should you have to compensate for the doctor bills? Right, then the the compensation, right, is equal at this point because we're both going to have to expend the same amount of money when it comes to doctor bills. Now, I do think there is a hole in this logic. I mean, there's an answer, but there is a hole in the logic of the tzar and in the rifui, which is that if you say ayin tachat ayin, right, nezek, right, we're trying to have eye for an eye. So if you say literally an eye for an eye, that's one thing. But now, on the other hand, right, on one side, if you say tzar and you talk about rifui, right, tzar and rifui is an expenditure that the other individual has. Now what you're saying, eye for eye, literally, right, then you're going to say, all right, so we have to cause him the same form of expenditure, the same pain, and the same expenditure of the ripui. On the other hand, right, what you've not done is help the other individual through the process of getting a doctor bill paid, or having the pain, right, taking away some of that pain that he had, or compensating him for the pain. So the Gemara does not see, the Gemara sees that it was literally an eye for an eye. The Gemara now sees that damage or punishment is a different form. Punishment is not, there are two things that punishment comes to do. In a sense, punishment comes to be a deterrent for others, I mean deterrent for others to do it again. So therefore we give them the exact same punishment because I'm going to deter others from doing the same thing in the future. Punishment can also come in the form of, number one, is a protection of society or societal thing that we don't want people going around and doing this. So we punish them, even though it may not be a turn to others, we punish individuals who do it, because either they need, in a Torah, in a spiritual sense, they need power up from doing something wrong, or we don't want individuals who act in this manner to be free in society. The other thing is that we want to compensate the victims. So we have to pay out money or compensate the victims. So the Gemara here does not separate between the two items. It says, if you say that it's literally an eye for an eye, then the Gemara says that it's simply a deterrent. It has nothing to do with compensating the victim. And therefore, we're not going to separate out the ripui and the tzar. Could have said is, yeah, sure, eye for an eye, but you still got to compensate the individual for the pain and the doctor bills. Right? That could have been a separate issue. Gemara assumes if we're doing mamash, that means eye for an eye, and then everything has to be equal. Meaning that tzar and ripui, you're going to have to cause him the same loss as he caused someone else, and it's all about the deterrent measures, not about the compensation of the victim. You see, the Gemara is not willing to separate between eyes, but because of that, the Gemara comes to the conclusion that it must be, if ripui and tzar are forms of compensation, then ayin tachat ayin must also be a form of compensation, monetary recompense. Alright, now, American teachers, Rav Ashi Amar, Ashi tachat tachat mishor. Ashi learns that, limud from tachat tachat mishor, ktiv ocha ayin tachat ayin, ktiv otam shalem shalem shor tachat ashor. So So just like we're talking about shore, that's monetary compensation. Right? Over here, it must be monetary compensation. And where it says, Mal Halamanon, Afgan Mamon. Like there's money, here's money. My Fazit. Why do you see that? My Fazit is so dead. Yelpa, Taka, Taka, Mishor. Why do you have to learn Taka, Taka, Mishor? We have other words, Taka, the man. Why? Nail of Taka, Taka, Miadam. Learn a Taka, Taka from Adam. The Steve. When I taught the Nefesh, Taka, Nefesh. Right? So if you have Nefesh, Taka, Nefesh, why don't you say that Taka teaches us Ayin Takarayin? It should be literal. Mar says, Mal Alamash, Afgan Mamash. Just like there's literally life for life. Over here, it should be eye for eye. Emre, done in Nizokim, and Nizokim, and done in Nizokim, and Misam. We're talking about damage from damage, which is an individual's chovel b'chavero, and a case where a shur does damage to another shur. Right, on the other hand, we don't do nizakin from Misa. When we're talking about the Adam, we're talking about death penalty. We're talking about killing another individual and killing the death penalty. We don't want to compare cases of death penalty to cases of damages. Well, within the category, we'd rather say we'd rather learn a din of a person from a person than a person from a behema. So there's equal weight to either side, meaning that why should you go after the types of damages? Why don't we talk about the individuals who were involved in the case? Right? And that will give you a different type of parallel. Elama Ravashi, no. Mitachat is not from Takat Tak Mishor. Mitachat Asher Ina, the only place. We learn it out from the pasuk of Takat Asher Ina. Adam Me Adam, Vinizakim, Vinizakim. From there we learn Adam Me Adam, Vinizakim, Vinizakim. We know Takat Asher Ina is monetary compensation because he oppressed her, because he caused pain to this woman. Therefore, he has to compensate her. Because of that, we see here, he did damage to the woman, and he pays monetary compensation. So, over here, our takat of ayin takarayin is also going to be monetary compensation. Tanya, Rabbi Lizomer, so here's the oddball out. Ayin takarayin mamash. Literally. Means literal. Until that point, the Gemara has assumed that it means monetary compensation. We brought down over and over and over again sources, or trying to find sources for the fact that it's monetary compensation. But it says, no, it means literally an eye for an eye. Mer says, Mamash, you mean literally? How could it be? Mer is not willing to accept that someone could even have such a half a mino to say that it's literal. Rav Elazar, let's play Kochani tonight. Rav Elazar rejects every other limud that we have here. And the evidence is so overwhelming, according to the opinions that we've laid out here, that it must be monetary compensation. It's clear that it is monetary compensation. The only thing Gemara's after is, what is the source for that? But it must be monetary compensation. So Amar Rabba, Lamar Shin Shamin Oto Ke'Evid. We don't assess them like a Evid, right? Before, the Mishnah says, how do I assume, or how do I determine the monetary value of the Nezek? I see how much it was worth to sell him as an Evid in the Shuk. And I see how much he's worth now, you know, that he has his damage to be sold in the Shuk. So he says, you don't assess him like an Evid. What does that mean, that we don't assess him like an Evid? Rather, what do we assess him like? So he says, I'm going to buy you, come on. Like who? I mean, if he's not an Eved, how do you do it? Ben Harim says, act like a free person. He says, Ben Harim, he slays men. Since when are free people sold? I mean, people don't have value. People don't have market value that you can go ahead and assess what the damage is that's done. The reason we use Avadim is because Avadim have a market value because they're traded. I mean, if there's a market that you can go to and find out how much it's worth. Ben Harim, there's no market for selling free people. If there's no market for selling free people, then you can't determine damages. That doesn't make any sense. It's very interesting that what Rabbi Lezer believes that we assess the Mazik's eye and not the Nizak's eye. That what we thought until now was Nezek, right? And that's what all the other Tanaim and all the other people believe. And when we assess the Nezek, we look at the victim. We look at the victim and we say, okay, what was the damage done to the victim? How much was it worth before? How much is it worth now? That's the Nezek I need to compensate for. Rabbi Lezer says, no, what are you talking about? It has nothing to do with compensation to the victim. It's about the kofer of the perpetrator. The perpetrator of the crime here, we look at his eye, how much is his eye worth? And he pays kofer. Because he should have lost his eye. It should be ayin takat ayin. But yet we let him have monetary compensation, right, to be kofer for him not losing his eye and to rectify the situation. Similar to, remember we had the limud yesterday, Doc, we had the limud about mutseach nefesh. That you're not looking to kofer the nefesh mutseach. You're not allowed to take kofar, you're not allowed to take a replacement or kofar, a payout, kapara, for, or in place of going to galut, or in place of getting the death penalty. And Gemara learned to deal from that. That's only true by Yari Mikvas, or by Nirsach, by a person that needs to be killed by Beis Din. But that's not true by damages. When it comes to damages, we do allow kofar. That's what we learned to literally. What does it mean that we allow kofar? In literally kofar. How do you take kofar? And kofar is the mazik b'shem inin. We set the value of the mazik. Similar to the machlokas that we had earlier, right, in the mesechta between Rabbi Akiva and Shmuel, again, and we set the mid mazik shemina and over the nizak shemina, right? So we set the value of the by the nizak, or do we set it based on the mazik? And then when we look at damages, what are we looking at? Are we looking at the person who perpetrated the crime, or are we looking at the individual, the victim? And it's kofar is sense of, again, when the shor kills an individual, and we have a machlokas that when a shor kills an individual, you have to pay kofar. Who's the kofar that you are paying for? When a shor mu'ad kills a ben chorin, he has to pay kofar. The kofar ben nizak shaminan or ben mazik shaminan. Is that kofar about the victim, and you're free compensating the victim, or is it about the mazik, the person himself who perpetrated the crime, and he's paying kafarah for himself? And over here, Rabbi Lezer suggests exactly that, with the mazik shaminan. It's all about the mazik, as opposed to all these other tanayim seem to say it has to do with the victim, and compensating the kofar or the compensation goes about, or the bout or goes to the victim. And now, next case. There was this donkey that went ahead and cut off, or, you know, cut an arm of a baby. After the command of Rav Balfa Bar Shmuel, they came for Rav Shmuel, Amar lehu zilu shumalei arba dvarim. Go and assess to them four items, meaning the four items. Amar lehu rav avanan chamishatna. What do you mean four? There are five. The Mishnah has five, what are you going to assess for? You're going to assess the items to all five. Amar lehu the bar minezik. Come, you know, he says, I go assess the additional four beyond nezik. Nezik's obvious that he has to pay. But beyond the nezik, he has to assess the other four items. When it says, we're talking about a donkey here. Right? And a chamor only pays for nezek, because we learned that earlier in the Masechta, that the chamishah dvarim is kitein adam mumba mito. It's only when a person comes damage to another individual. Chovel, adam of chovel is the one who pays for five things. But not, right? An animal that does damage does not pay the chamishah dvarim. So it says that what was Rakopo Varshmul's hadmina. I mean, what do you think? He says that he didn't know that it was a donkey that had done the damage. He thought it was a person. I mean, in fact, that there was an arm missing here. He thought it was a person that did it. So he was talking with it in the context. He didn't understand the case. Once he understood, oh, Hamor, you're right. Amalo, Zilu Shumalain is okay. You're right. Go assess his value. Vahaki Abdo Bailevi Mishameh. And you have to go and assess it. How do you do that? He said, how much is this child worth as an Eved before and after this diminution in value? So Amalo, Zilu Shamil Ka Abdo. So they went out and Paskin, go out and assess them like an Eved. So meaning that they said to him, Zilu Shumalei, Niske, go assess how much the value is. So they respond to him, in order to assess the value, you have to assess them like an Eved. So what does he do? He commands them to go out and assess them like an Eved. So then the Amar Lehu Abua, the Yanoka, the father of the child, says, Lo Bina, the Zilu Bei Milsa. He says, I don't want to do it. Because like, it's embarrassing. It's below our dignity to go out and assess this baby like and go and put him out on the shuk. See how much he would have been worth before and after. Lord, dignity, I don't want to do it. So Amrulay, they said, hey, I'll come and have it later. This money or these damages belong to the baby, not to you. And how can you refuse to go out and assess the value? Because he can come back with a claim to you. He says, I lost my arm. I'm entitled to compensation. Where's that compensation that I was paid for losing my arm? When it gets older, and the father will say, I waived your right. How can you waive his right? How can you be mocha on behalf of this child? So he says, I'm a little, he got deal if I send a lady to this. Right? So he says, no, when he grows up, I'll pay him out for my own money, or I'll calm him down. I will tell him, don't worry about it. I'll take care of you. So meaning that the issue of him not being able to mochel, he says, I'll take responsibility for mochel, and I'll compensate the child for that loss if he feels or he needs to be compensated in the future. All right. How Torah Dalus Yazei Dianoka? Again, case of the shore that took off an arm of a baby. After the Kamei Durova. He came before Rava. Amrulo zilu shamihu kaavdo. Go out and assess him like an Eved. Amrulay bar mar do amar kol nishum keved and kovim ato bebavel. Wait a minute. You were the one who says that if we have to assess him like an Eved, then we're not done this in Babel. Right? Here we're talking about, in Babel. And we know in Babel there were limitations as to what they were allowed to adjudicate in Babel. So this is one of the limitations that Rava said, is that if you're assessed like an Eved, then we don't go in Babel. Don't worry, I was going to ask why. So I'm a little tricha di tofos. That we only need it because maybe he'll take it. We need to know. In Babel, we said that you're not allowed to set these items, but each tough is going up kinami. Like, if he grabs it, then we don't take it away from him. But if he grabs it, we need to know how much it really is worth, or how much damage he really did. I mean, that was he entitled to grab. If he grabs more than that, then we're going to have to take it back from him. So Rabba the Tame, Rabba the Quinto, so in the evening, Dama Rabba, Nitzke Shore Bishore, Nitzke Shore Badam, Gobino Tobe Vavel. If it comes to a shore damaging another shore, or it comes to an Adam that damages a shore, in those instances we take care of it in Bavel. Nitzke Adam Badam, it comes to Adam Chovel by another Adam, oh, Nitzke Adam Bishore, or shore that damages an Adam, in Gobino Tobe Vavel. We don't adjudicate this in Bavel. What's the difference by the fact that when an Adam is damaged by a shore, that we don't adjudicate this in Bavel? Because it says, Elohim Bayinan. We need Elohim, we need Mumchim, Dayanim Mumchim, right? Balakka, and we don't have those, because it requires a din. It says that you have to go Lifnei Elohim. Elohim means before Bayisin, Bayisin and Mumchim. So where it says, in this case, Shor B'Shor, B'Shor B'Adam Nami. What do you mean? Why is there only a requirement for Mumchim in these instances? In the case where it's a shore, and as well as an Adam that damages a shore, also you require Nami Elohim Bayina and Nebeleko. We also require Bezin and Mumchim, and we don't have it. So what are you talking about? My Shna Shor B'Shor, B'Shor B'Adam. So what, again, what's the difference? What's the differentiating factor that we say by one you do and one we don't adjudicate? The Shlichutayu Ki'adina Mite'aba Dotvelvot. Now we know the Gemara in Sanhedrin, another place, discusses the fact that in Bavel we're allowed to adjudicate certain items because we do the shlichut of the basin on the mumchim in Eretz Yisrael. That they give us permission to dan or do their shlichut in certain instances, like hodav and hovot. When it comes to what Rashi calls hodav and hodot and hovot, where you don't require mumchim, those are cases of hoda'ah, when there's a bali dom yidei hoda'ah, that they have Edom that say that this person admitted that he owed money, or Edelva, we have Edom that come along and say he owes him money. He literally owes him money. We saw the loan take place and he owes him money. So those we will adjudicate in Bavel. Why? Rashi says it's because Lo Binyan Mumchim Shlotin Ol Del Bifnei Lavin. We don't require experts. We don't require Mumchim in the sense, Mumchim, those that have Smicha, or Mumchim in Beis Din, because we don't want to stop commerce. And if we require Mumchim, then nobody would lend money anymore because they could never adjudicate the matter afterwards. So in order to make it plausible that people, or make it societally tenable to have people lend money, we said that you have to be able to adjudicate these items. So we say, Shukutayu Kabdinan. So Adam Ba'adam Ba'adam Ashur Nami. So say the same thing by Chovu Ba'adam Ba'adam, or an Ashur that does damage to Adam, Shukutayu Kabdinan. Why don't we say the same thing? Midin Ava Hodot Ba'alavot. Say the exact same thing. We're doing their Shukut. We're acting on their behalf over here. Somebody says, Imre, ki abdinan shlichutai v'midide kimlan b'gavei. That, when we do their shlichutai, it's things that we know how to assess. Values that we know how to assess. V'midide lo kimlan b'gavei lo abdinan shlichutai. Right, so where we don't know how to assess the values, then we don't do shlichut. Somebody says, Imre, shor b'shor, b'shor b'adam, when it comes to shor b'shor, and shor b'adam, nami lo kimlan b'gavei. Excuse me, we don't know how to assess their value either. Ella pukhadi. What are you going to do? How are you going to assess the value of damage done to a shore? Or how are you going to assess the value of a adam that damages the shore? What are you going to do? You're going to go out to the marketplace and figure out how much the shore sells for. And then you're going to know how much does the shore sell for minus or with this type of damage in it. So adam, 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 shore. Now, go out to the marketplace of slaves and you'll find out the same information. What do you mean you don't know how to assess it? Doesn't matter. We don't know how to assess anything. How do we figure out the damages or compensation? We go out to the market. We go out to the market, find out what's the marketplace. Same thing over here. We look out into the market and see what the marketplace is. Though, if that's the case, the Shlumei Keva, the Shlumei Arba B'Chamisha, the Kitzei, Navi Shluchutayu. Oh wait, when you talk to two times and four times, if you say the whole problem here is we don't know how much, over there we know exactly how much. It's two times and four times. We know exactly how much. We should adjudicate Kefel and Arba B'Chamisha and Bavel, which we don't do. Why don't we do it? Say, Amre, ki abdina shukutai bin mamona. The only time we do shukutai is when it's monetary compensation. Monetary compensation means that there's damage, and then you're compensating for that damage. The money is equal to the damage that is done. Because lo abdina shukutai, when it comes to a knas, what's the definition of a knas? The definition of a knas is that the payment bears no resemblance or semblance to the damage that was done. It's paid irrespective of the damage that's done, like Shloshim Shalevet. Right? Those types of items, no matter how much damage is worth, you pay Shloshim. So that's called Knas. So in Knas, we don't do Shluchutai. So it says that's really here, the word Knas is a broader definition. It says, Lab Dafka Knas doesn't really mean Knas. Ela Mishum Tolei Beis Hisarum Kis Kari Le Knas. Because there's no monetary loss, it's called a Knas. Because we're not talking about compensation for monetary loss, we're talking about compensation or imposed on you. Money or damages that are imposed on you, but not necessarily reflect the damage that you did. So it says, Adam ba Adam de mamono avich bikudayu. Wait a minute, Adam ba Adam, and that is also right until this point, we've also been using the Adam b'shor, a shor that damages Adam. That's mamon. We're talking about damage done to another individual. That's not a knack. We're talking about physical damage done, or the victim had damage, and we're talking about compensation for that damage. Why don't we do the damage? The Gemara said qualifies it. No, that's only in things that are common. Common things. Adam ba'adam lo shchicha lo av dinim shulchutayu. Adam ba'adam, which is not a common thing, that people hurt each other, that's not common, therefore we don't do shulchutayu. So Gemara says, Hari boshet upigam to shchiyach. It talks about boshet and pigam, those items are common. What do you mean that they're common? Right, boshet, really, pigam, I don't think the word pigam should be here, but a boshet to shchiyach, there we should do their shlichut when it comes to boshet. Now boshet is not compensation for these barren kids. That's not about a loss of money. It's talking about embarrassment. So you're paying for an intangible item. Paying for an intangible item, we shouldn't, right, adjudicate that in Bavel. Right? Says, wait, what don't we adjudicate in Bavel? We don't adjudicate things that are not shchiach. Boshet is shchiach. Why is it shchiach? Because it comes up in other instances. Where does it come up in other instances? Boshet comes up in ones and the fasta. Right, so there are other issues or other areas of halacha where we see the boshet comes up, not just in nizakim. So that's it's more commonplace to happen. If it's more commonplace to happen, then we should be able to do nevdim and shulchutayim. So Gemara says imri, hachanami, right? And hachanami, the rahav papa agvei arba meizuzah de boshet. But papa did. He adjudicated the case and he took 400 zuz for boshet. Wow, this is the rahav papa. Right, wait a minute, we don't hold, right, Rav Papa, the Shalakar of Chisda, Rav Nachman, the Shalakar of Chisda, Chisda, Kansa, Tam, Rav, 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 we ask exactly that question. How could you do this, right? How could you do such a thing? Because we don't take Nas and Bavel, and Boshet is Nas. So you see that clearly the Amorites believe that Boshet is a form of Nas, and we shouldn't be Govei and Bavel. Elos, now we narrow it down, and we re-qualify the statement, Elokiyah, Dim, Shikotai, Mesut, the Shikikab, Itbei, Chisar, and Kids. You need both qualifications. It has to be both be shchiach, and it has to have chisaron kis. Means there has to be real damages, loss of money. That loss of money is what you're compensating for, and it has to be commonplace items. It can't be things that just happen every once in a while. Or some of the things that are common, but there is no monetary loss, like boshet. Or or things that are not common, but there is monetary loss, like adam ba'adam, chobel adam ba'adam. Then lo avdin actually chutayu. Therefore, we don't do their bidding. Hilchak adam ba'adam. So adam ba'adam avlo din beis chisaron kis. Even though there is loss, there is monetary loss here. Given lo shchicha chutayu or lo avdin chutayu. Since it's not common, we don't do their shchut and boshim. Also avlo din shchicha. You know it's a commonplace thing. Given lo beis chisaron kis, lo avdin chutayu. Since there is no right loss here, physical or monetary loss, therefore we do not ask for payment or do compensation. So the Gemara says, and I mean, Tosfos points out, doesn't ask, wherever the Gemara goes through this thing about Knas and not being Govei Knas, Tosfos always asks the question, well, wait a minute, we do, what about Gzelot and Chavalot? Right, that we need Mumchim, how come we're allowed to do Gzelot and Chavalot? So Tosfos says, one, either Gzelot and Chavalot lo shliachiyah, they're not commonplace. Since Gzelot and Chavalot are not commonplace, we don't adjudicate them. The other thing, he says, well, wait a minute, there are many places that we see that they did adjudicate it. So he says, oh, we can tell you that those cases are cases of tapas. So once he's tofaced, then we have to adjudicate, we have to deal with the fact that he's tofaced. Once he's tofaced, then we are done and in Bavel. Before he's tofaced, we're not done. He says, we'll explain all those cases in Shas. But he says, but there are other people who suggest that it depends what type of gzela we're talking about. If there's gzelos, I say chabalot. Say two people are fighting, and then one of them grabbed something else from his friend. They were fighting, so part of the fight, he just grabbed something else. That's gzela, I say chabalot. That's not a commonplace thing. So therefore we don't do it. About when it comes to regular theft, that's something that is shchiach. Regular theft is very shchiach, and that is something that you're done. So there it goes, wants to differentiate what type of theft we're talking about. The gzelot that are a result of chavalot, that's not commonplace. We don't done that in Bavel. Regular gzelot, that is commonplace, and we would be done that in Bavel. And it says those examples for Rachas would be examples of regular gzelot, and that's they were done in Bavel. First answer said no, that all those cases are cases of tapas, and it's not relevant. You're right. Zelot are not adjudicated because they are not shkiyah. Mar says, wait a minute, b'shor, govin b'bavel. Is it really true when you have a shor that damages another shor for govin and bavel? Why? Because it's shchia and it's pitaron kis. V'amarov b'shor shizik in govin otop b'bavel. Right, so a shor that does damage, you don't govin b'bavel. Does zik demand? Who did he damage? Ilim does zik adam. Mayri yashor does zik adam. Afilu adam does zik adam. Why did you give the example of a shor damaging another adam? You can have an adam who's going to throw it damages an adam. Now we ain't govin otop b'bavel. We don't take that in bavel. Ela, shita. Does it short? Must be a case where he damaged a short. Vigdani ain't going to be no to Bavel. It says that he will not adjudicate such an item in Bavel. Imre Hasam b'tam acham b'muad. You're talking about the difference between a tam and a muad. Because why? Tam is a form of knas. And we take knas, you're not going to be in Bavel. When it comes to a tam, we don't do it in Bavel. Muad, we do that in Bavel. Muad is actually actual compensation, right? That's Kitzon and Kitz and Shkia. Vamar Rava ain't muad in Bavel. Alright, got the mu'ad, but Rava says there's no such thing as a mu'ad in Bavel. Imri, the ayid hotav, I do the hafa. No, the case is that he became a mu'ad in Eretz Yisrael. And after he was a mu'ad, they shipped him out to Bavel. Right, I do the hafa. The mu'ad says, ha, milk to shkiyachi. Right, that's not common. That's not common that a shor becomes a mu'ad in Eretz Yisrael and then they ship him out to Bavel after he's a mu'ad? That doesn't make sense. When it comes to things that are not commonplace, we do not do their bidding. We're not the agents in terms of adjudicating things. We have Rabbanan from Eretz Yisrael came out to Bavel and they made it to a Muad in Bavel. Again, that's not a common item where we have a Mumchim from Eretz Yisrael that happens to be in Bavel and are able to make him into a Muad. Anyway, if they're there anyway, let them adjudicate the case. Okay, if I make him into a Muad, let them adjudicate the case, even if it was a time, right? Things that are not commonplace, we do not adjudicate. Rava is when Rava made that statement, he was making a statement about when they are Shane and Regel. That's about Shane. Shane and Regel are Mu'adin mitchilatan. There's no question of Tam or getting to be a Mu'ad. Right? They are Mu'ad up front. If they are Mu'ad up front, right, that is a case, like Rashi says here, Kigal, Shinitchachek, the Chavero, he bumped into his friend, Lahanato, right, and as he goes, he damaged him. The Haidu told him the shame. Oh, so Yizika, the Shor Chavero, but Gufo, Derek, Eluko, Yizoko, Loki, Vain, Dabi, Toto, the Regel. In all those cases, those are Toto, the Regel. And that's where you're Govain Bavel, because there's no issue of Tom, of Knaf, there's no issue of making them into a Muad, because they're a Muad up front. So that's why when you talk about Shor Bashor, takes compensation in Bavel, that is the case of Shane Varego. Karen, you're right. It can't be done Karen in Bavel. Either it's a Tom, which is no Kanat, or because of Rav Simon, you can't make a Muad in Bavel. You can't make a Muad in Bavel, because we don't have Dain Mumchim. Therefore, we can't be talking about the case of Karen. Alright, Tsar. What's the case of Tsar that we said in our Mishnah? Tsar is Va'ol B'Shifur B'Masmer. He burnt him with a stake of some sort, or B'Masmer with a hot nail. Something very hot that he caused him to have pain. So the assumption of the Gemara here is it's a tzar without any damage. I mean, it's pain without any damage. Tzar shalom makom nezek mishtalem. Right, so our mission suggests that pain without any damage you have to pay for it. Mantana. Who's the author that believes that tzar without any damage you pay? Amarava ben Azai. It's Ben Azai. How do you know it's Ben Azai? The Tanya Rebbe Omer Tziyat Nemra Tchila. If he has written first. Ben Azai Omer Chabura Nemra Tchila. Chabura has written first. But my commitment, what are they arguing about? Wait, what's first? We don't know what they're arguing about. Rebbe Savar Kviya Delechbe Chabura Mashmo. That when we talk about Kviya, when we talk about damage, we're talking about damage, Kviya, meaning burn, or pain that has no damage associated with it. Katav Rachmana Chabura. Then the Torah came around the word Chabura Leguyala. To teach you the Kviya Delechbe Chabura in, Ilolo. That was, if you have a Chabura, then yes. If you have no Chabura, lo. That's why the Torah went out of its way when he says Chabura Tchila, Kviya Nemra Tchila, is that first we thought it could be a man, it could be a without the Chabura. Then we have the Chabura come. Once we have the word Chabura, it comes to teach us that only B'makum Chabura you chayav, but not B'makum, no. But as I said, Kviya, you need to be Chabura Mashma. When you learn, if you just learn Kviya without anything else, I would have assumed that means that it has a Chabura. A Kviya that has a Chabura. Called the Rahman a Chabura, then why did the Torah write so? Chabura Ligvulia Le. Or to explain or found here that Tviyah let's be Chabura. Right? The question is, what's the default case of Tviyah? The default case of Tsar. Is the default case of Tsar without a Chabura?
And therefore, when the Torah went ahead and said a kabura afterwards, it means to include only cases where there is a kabura. Or if you say the default case of kviya is when there is a kabura, and therefore when they came and wrote the word kabura, come to teach you no kabura, you still have to compensate. The Rabbi the Makos did my Adai and Rabbi, and Ben Adai will be author of our Mishnah, because our Mishnah is a case bizarre, Shalom Makom Nezah. That's exactly what Ben Adai is proposing here. So Matthew's Lower Papa, other Rabbi, Ipcha Misabra. Opposite makes more sense. Rabbi Omer Kviya Nemrat Chila. Right, so Rabbi says Kviya is written first, what does that mean? Sabra Kviya is Beit Chabura Mashma. Kviya means we don't have any other qualifications, so Kviya sounds like a case of Kviya with Chabura. Katav Rachmana Chabura, the Gguyalo. So the person told right, Chabura, after the teacher, the Kviya is less Beit Chabura. The teacher that even when there is no Chabura, you're still Chayab. But Adi Omer Chabura Nemrat Chila. So Chabura is written first, what does it mean? Sabra Kviya is less Beit Chabura Mashma. That sounds like when Kviya is written, that means, doesn't mean, doesn't include Chabura. Kotav Ravana Chabura, like Gulei Allah, the Kviya is Bei Chabura in Ilola. And only when you have Chabura does it work, not work. So we basically split the opinions of Rabbi and Ben Azai here. Right, but Masana Kaimi, and it's going on the concluding statement. If you look at Rashi, where's the Masana Kaimi? Hi Nemra, right, that case of Nemra, that we said over here, the Kamri of Sofa Drusha. It's going to the end of the Drusha, the Ikra, Shehi Omedet Kaimi.
When the original Braisa, when we had the statements of Rabbi and Ben Azai, when they say Ne'emra Tchila, I mean Ne'emra Tchila doesn't mean just to have a Mino, but Ne'emra Tchila means that's the conclusion. So when we say Rabbi says Kviya Ne'emra Tchila, means Kviya even without a Chabura. And Ben Azai says Chabura Ne'emra Tchila, sounds like Chabura, you need Chabura, Chabura is a must in order to be Chayav B'Kviya. If that's the case, then Rabbi will be the author of our Mishnah. Now, all this will make sense for a number of reasons. One is that Rabbi will be the author of the Mishnah, and as Rashi says, that Rabbi is Mesadar and Mishnah, so it would make sense that he is the author of this Mishnah. Number two is that their positions of Nemra are not just Havaminas in the Brisa, but they actually are the concluding statements of the Brisa.
Inami. The Kuleyam, everybody believes Kviya, Ben Yisbei Chabura, Ben Lesley Bechurva Mashmo. That doesn't matter. Tsar is either Bemakom Nezek or not the Nevon Zenek. Everybody agrees to that. Rebbe and Ben Azai. Vahacha Bechlal Uprat Amruchakim Zemizekam Iplegei. We're talking about a Klal Uprat that are distant one from the other that we're arguing about. What's a Klal Uprat? What's the din of a Klal Uprat? In Bechlal Elamasha Bechprat. So now, when you have a Klal Uprat, if you say, what's the Klal? The Klal is Kviya. Kviya means burn or tsar, and there's no qualification. That means whether it has a chabura, whether it doesn't have a chabura, whether there's damage, no damage, you'd be chayav. That's the klal. Then afterwards you come and say, what? We say chabura. Right? We have the klal of kviya. And then afterwards we say, no, chabura. So now what do you want to do? You're going to say, is it chabura? Does chabura qualify the statement of kviya? Does damage qualify the statement of kviya? Where do we learn out? Right, where do we learn out tsar from? We learn out tsar from
kviya tachat kviya, and we learn out chabura from chabura tachat chabura. Problem is that there's petza tachat petza between those two statements. So now, the klal and the prat, are they really attached? Does the prat of chabura really modify the klal of kviya, or does kviya stand alone and chabura is an independent statement? And we'll see in a second what you're going to do with it if that's the case. And the question at hand now is, what do I do?
That they're far apart. They're not right next to each other. They're not juxtaposed. So now do I learn a klal uprat, even when two items are not right up against each other in the pasuk? That's what Mikli, Rebbe, Sever, ain't done no tov klal uprat. There is no klal uprat. Ben Azai, Sever, done no tov klal uprat. And Ben Azai says we do it. V'chi teima chabura le Rebbe lomali. Right, what do I need chabura for, according to Rabbi? According to Rabbi, it's irrespective, right? We don't done the klal uprat, and that means that in any case, no matter what the case is, we're going to say, what the drush is, no klal uprat. If there's no klal uprat, means that a kviya means whether there's a chabura or no chabura. So what is he going to do with the word, what is he going to do with the chabura, the case of chabura, lamale, the damim yitzerim, for extra money. What's the extra money that he has to pay out? Rashi says, the ilok davela kviya tachat kviya, had it only written kviya tachat kviya, havamrina ben yitzbe chabura, ben letzbe chabura, what it said, whether there's a chabura or no chabura. The main kviya mishalim, aval kar de lo mishalim, but both he won't pay. Mashalam de shmalim tarbayu, he pays for both. What the both Rashi's talking about is unclear here. Rashi doesn't say what's the other item you're going to pay for. Is it chabura that you're also going to pay, but you're also going to pay for nezek? So Tosfos brings Rashi down, and he says, well, yeah, that's what it means. It means tsar b'makom nezek. Sounds like from Rashi's saying that the havamina would have been that you only pay tsar and no nezek. comes on, Dami Yisemim tells you, you also pay Nezel from Makom Tam.
So it says, what do you need that? We have the Pasuk Tachat Pesach. We have an open Pasuk that we see that Pesach Tachat, and then it's Tzar from Makom Nezel. That even when there's Nezel, you still pay for Tzar.
So what's the limud over here?
What do you need this extra limud for? So there's Nira Lari, the Dami Mitraim, Shalim Tzar, Sheishbo Roshim.
The difference between Tzar with a scar and Tzar without a scar. It says that's not damage. A scar is not damage. That's not nezek. Nezek is value function. Nezek is all about your functioning.
Does the item or does the limb function like it did before?
The nezek affects the functional or functionality of the limb. Tzar deals with pain. But there's an additional item which is not addressed by either of those, and that's scar. The leftover scar afterwards. What do you do with that?
Alright, so the disfigurement of the person. So that's what the dummy mitzvah. He learns that chabura, tachara chabura, comes to teach us, but that even, even though there's no pain, alright,
even though there's no more pain when there's a scar left, or not a scar left, nevertheless the person suffers from the disfigurement. Is that disfigurement?
Right, it really does sound like a bullshit issue, but sometimes you can separate it out. It's not a,
that's not really bullshit, he's embarrassed, but it's something that makes him, I don't know, less confident, less, he has some sort of he's self-conscious about it. Right? Not necessarily that there's an embarrassment about it, but it's something that drives a certain amount of self-confidence, I guess, or something like that. You have to somehow separate it from bullshit, because otherwise bullshit's already explicit or something separate.
Alright, let's stop here.